Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Oh, God, the ups, the downs, the high places, the valleys, the low places, God, you are in it all. Throughout our lifetime, God, through all the seasons, changes, you have stayed constant, God. You have never changed. Forever the same. And you really are the foundation, that solidness, that rock that we can look to always, God. Even in our unfaithfulness, God, and sometimes in our looking away, you are still faithful. So God, this morning in this place, at this time, at this moment, we turn and we look at you, God. And we see your beauty, God, and we see your faithfulness. We see your grace. We see your mercy, God. And we see that you are the one who is for us and not against us. And the one who walks with us by your Spirit. And the one who, as I sense in this room today, there are challenges in people's lives. And God, you are in the midst of those challenges. And you truly, God, do drop giants, God. And you do shake mountains and prison walls, God. So, God, we put our trust and our faith in you today. We acknowledge that, God. And we do say to our fears and our doubts that God is here. And Jesus, I just pray that as Deb faces this challenge of cancer, God, and has been going through it in such a triumphant way, God, I just pray that again today, this morning, you touch her body. And just strengthen her, God. Heal. Just divinely, God, speak the word and she will be completely whole. Think of our kids at kids' camp this week, God, and Pastor Tiffany and her helpers, and I just pray in Jesus' name that, God, your Spirit would be poured out on that camp, on every kid, Lord, every leader. And I pray, God, that you would fill them completely, baptize them in your Spirit, God. Fill them again, those that have been filled. And God, just do an amazing work in their lives. And put your seal on some of those kids that maybe don't know you, God, and they would find salvation. They'd find Jesus. And God, that their lives will be changed forever because what you accomplished in their lives this week. So God, we submit them to you. We commit them to you, God, and we stand in the gap for that in Jesus' name. Oh God, you're good. You're so good, God. Praise your holy name, God. Oh, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. You're worthy, God, of all praise and honor. Jesus, Jesus. And Spirit, as we open your word and as we sit in this place, don't let any of us leave here today without having heard your still small voice saying, this is the way, this is what I'm doing in your life. Would you follow? Let all that you want to accomplish be done in this place today. In your name. In that wonderful name, that matchless name, that name above all other names, that name of Jesus. Let it be done. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, isn't God wonderful? Wow. I've learned a lot in the last year and a bit, and I can honestly tell you that God has been changing me and leading my life and developing me, and this next while you'll hear some of how that's been happening and what he's been saying to me. And what he's been doing. And I hope and I pray, and I've been praying this all year, that you too have felt that same experience or had that same experience, that, you know, you have not been unchecked, but that God has been speaking to your life and developing your life and leading your life and really being something greater in your life than ever before. Hallelujah. Well, lessons from Sunday school. Let me premise just before I get into it. Starting this Tuesday and the next three Tuesdays, Noreen and I are hosting some barbecues and conversations, and we want to reconnect with people, obviously, but also we've done some sets of sermons and want to have conversations on those. So this coming Tuesday, there's two slots, 12 noon or 6 p.m., and we'd love for you to be able to grab one of those two slots. You'll just get the same stuff if you come to both, although you might want to not cook at all. But if you could pick one, 12 noon or 6 p.m., and if you could RSVP to us by 12 noon tomorrow just so we can prepare, that'd be awesome. This week's conversations are centering around the five sermons on the Holy Spirit. So we'll begin that conversation this Tuesday and take it as far as we want. And then I think I'm going to go from there, hopefully into First and Second Thessalonians, the sermons we preached on the second coming of Christ. So that's kind of where Tuesday's conversations will tend to lead. But as always, the Holy Spirit gets the final say. And we will answer questions as well and just have conversations on your thoughts. So that's starting this coming Tuesday. David's big giant. Now, he had a quite an interesting life, King David, didn't he? From a shepherd boy to eventual being king in Judah and then all of Judah and Israel. And in the midst of all of it, near the beginning, of course, we get this story, and the story of David and Goliath. And the story unfolds where there's the two armies, the Philistines on one, you know, mountain or hill on one side of the valley. On the other side of the valley is Israel. And I can tell you the confidence level between the two was such that on the Philistine side of things, there was probably a lot of partying and celebration and joy and confidence. They were exhilarated, confident they would win the victory. And on the other side, you had Israel, who, remember, has the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords on their side, and they are frightened and fearful and not knowing how things are going to turn out. It's uncertain, and they are in, I'm sure, great dismay. And I'll tell you, there's probably no parties that are happening and barbecues on this side of the valley. And in the middle of this valley comes their champion of the Philistines, who walks out into the valley, and he shouts across to the other side, to Israel, and basically, in making fun of them, wants them to send out a champion of their own to fight him one-on-one. Let's not lose lives on either side. Let's just do it one-on-one, and let's encounter, get this thing settled once and for all. Now, Goliath is approximately, folks, 9 feet and 9 inches tall. It's a little bit bigger than me. It's about a 1.5 of me, right? 9 foot, 9 inches, approximately what he was. He was fully clad with armor. It was heavy armor, and all parts of his body were covered. And he didn't. He had a spear and staff. He didn't even have to carry his shield because he had another guy out front of him who I can just see with this rectangle long shield, body shields. It's probably not 9 feet tall. Maybe it was. We don't know. But he's trying to hold this shield in front of Goliath and protect him from attack. So this is the guy that comes out to face Israel and call for a champion. And the people, as it tells us, are extremely afraid, including King Saul at the time. Now, a champion is important, that's mentioned here, because what a champion meant in biblical and ancient Near Eastern and other literature back then, it was a man who steps out to fight between two battle lines. So literally that word in the Hebrew, champion, meant that this guy would step out between the two battle lines and lead the charge. Can you think of anybody else who stepped out in between the battle lines for you and for me. Does his name rhyme or sound like Jesus? Of course, there was a big gap between God and man. Our sin could not relate to a God who was pure and holy, and we needed a champion, and Jesus was the champion of the church, and the champion stepped out into the middle of the battlegrounds, and he laid his life down by the cross, forever bridging the path that we could take for eternal life. That's the kind of champion you and I have faith in, the one who came out and stood. And so when Goliath yelled this champion, send a champion out, this is literally what he was asking for, is you send one guy out into the middle of these battle lines to fight the battle for you. We got Goliath. We got a giant. We have this incredibly full armored and weaponized machine. Now, David would have easily been less tall than me, according to Jewish structures and etc. But he was definitely probably not 6 feet. And if he was 6 feet, he was a pretty good tall length guy. But that's it. Amazing odds. So I think Goliath was pretty confident that no matter who they sent out to battle him, the odds were in his favor big time. This wasn't his first rodeo. I'm sure he'd been in other battles and done the exact same thing and slaughtered people in the middle of the battle in the same manner and way. Catch a verse or two with me here for a moment. Big giant, big odds the army would defeat them, and no one to step out for them. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The odds were against them. In some of your lives today, even this very season, the odds are against you. The odds seem insurmountable. They seem big. They seem giant. And they seem like there's nothing that you could possibly do to overcome these odds. There's nothing in your ability to do it, and yet you want it done so badly. And I would just say to us all, acknowledge him in the midst of it, in the midst of your giant. Acknowledge him. You see, Israel didn't know as they cowered in fear that God's answer was on the way. That God hadn't forsaken them. They were his people. And he already had a plan in place that would help deliver them in this instant from this giant. You see, folks, we have to have faith in God to do big things in his kingdom. Big things. David comes into the scene because his father sends him. Sends him to the battlegrounds. He wants news of what's going on. David's three oldest brothers were there in battle in the army. And so he had sent some food and some stuff for the brothers. And he just says, get me news of what's going on. And David comes into this picture of the army battle to his brothers. And he comes and he hears Goliath step out. And he hears him. He says this to the people around him in 1 Samuel 17:26. David says to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can you hear the faith already? This David seems almost unfazed. Like he's struck by the fact that this guy's defying God's army. And in 1 Samuel 17:32, when he goes before Saul, King Saul, David says to the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Picture that for a moment. I mean, David, we know, was handsome, according to Scripture. You know, we know he was an okay-looking guy, but he's still not very big, and he doesn't have any armor at the time, and he certainly doesn't have any training. And he comes in with this unbridled confidence, this unbelievable set of confidence to know that God is with him. Catch that, folks. God is with you. God is with you in every circumstance, whether it's good or bad, he is there. Whether it seems insurmountable or giant, God is with you. His Spirit never leaves you. David tells the king, because they're like kind of taken back by this confidence, you know, when I was out in the fields, you know, I had to defend the sheep during the bear and the lion attack, and I would take them on hands. Can you imagine that? Let's wrestle a bear. But he did, and he was able to subdue them. And he, so Saul finally relents, and they start to give him Saul's armor, and Saul's armor is his heavy, it's normal, it's to defend, right? And David's like, you know, walking around with this armor, he's like, I can't do this. And so he takes off the armor, and he's gonna go without even armor, folks, against Goliath. And so he goes and he takes his staff and his sling and he goes to the brook and he takes out 5 smooth stones, the Bible tells us, and puts them in his pouch. And this is the picture of a guy with a staff and a sling that walks out into the valley as the champion of Israel and faces Goliath. Goliath, of course, sees this picture of this guy with nothing for armor and stuff, and he mocks him and swears at him. And then he says to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and beasts of the field." And I love David's reply in 17, verses 45 to 47. David says to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I'll strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth." You talk about throwing it back at him. "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You sang that this morning. Do you believe it? Do you believe in a God who is the God of the universe, who is on your side? And David comes with this amazing perspective. We've got to get that perspective in our minds and know that God is with us by Spirit. He's always with us. And he lets us go through valleys. He lets us go through the shadow of death. But he said, "I'll be with you." Because he's teaching us and refining us and defining who we are in him. And he wants us to grow in confidence and faith and trust in him. That comment they threw back and forth about, you know, the birds and the beasts and laying their bodies out to be, you know, eaten and pecked and all that kind of stuff. It's awesome. But you know that in Israel, being deprived of burial and exposed to birds and beasts was considered worse than death itself in that culture. So there was a significance of that was being thrown out. So Goliath at this point has had enough. He comes towards David. And David runs, it says, to the giant. Now how do you like that? His confidence is not backing down. He literally runs to him, and you can just see that action movie, you know, like he's running, you know, you got the little skirt thing on, the dress thing, and sandals, and you're just a givener. And as you're giving her, he's doing the old sling thing. Out comes the rock into the sling. He's doing the thing, or whatever, which way you do it. And Next thing you know, swing on the run, full run. He's practiced this before. And it hits Goliath where he's unprotected on the forehead. And it embeds in there. And the Bible tells us this very simple thing. Goliath falls down on his face to the ground. Folks, he ain't out cold. He's gone. And David, in Hollywood fashion, runs to Goliath because he doesn't have a weapon other than the sling. And he takes out this heavy sword out of his sheath and gets his sheath up there and for good measure cuts his head off. There's any doubt he was dead. At this point, it's not very much doubt anymore. And there his body lay, just like David said it would. Folks, do we need faith or what, eh? You know, as you grow as a Christian, some of you have been Christians for years, some of you for months, some of you maybe even brand new. But the one thing is certain, that what God wants to see and do in your life is that every day of your life in faith, God wants you to mature and grow in faith and trust in Him. He wants you to know who He is. He wants you to know so that when the darkest times of your life come and some of the struggles you go through and some of you have lost loved ones and you just see these things that happen in your life, but He wants you to know in those seasons that you can trust Him. That your faith is so matured and growing in your life that you see that you have this confidence that God will not forsake you. And all of us should have the kind of courage you saw in that story of David as he just kept going and didn't doubt. We need faith, of course, to overcome giants in our life. Right now in your life, just think for a moment. What would be some of the big giant? Is there a big giant there in your life right now? Is there even some smaller ones? As you contemplate those things, in a moment when we go back to worship God, I'm going to invite you to lay those things again at the feet of Jesus and profess your confidence and faith and your courage that God will see it through. God uses our ordinary everyday abilities and talents and things that we've fostered in our life to do extraordinary things. You know, I remember that story. I believe I've shared it once before, way back, but there was a surgeon who had gone through all his life and sort of deciding where should I go in life and what should I do. And God sort of led him into the medical profession, and he felt very strongly that that's what God wanted to do in his life. That was his calling. But yet, in the midst of all the education and finally getting into, into surgery and being a surgeon and then becoming the chief surgeon of a Chicago hospital and really seeing everything come to fruition, he still had this thought in his mind that everything he had done to this point was still unfulfilled because there was something God had done through all of this to place him in a particular time and to be able to do what he does for some significant moment, and he just hadn't felt like that had happened yet. And so one day he's at the surgeon or at the hospital, and things are proceeding as normal, and all of a sudden an emergency happens, and this man is rushed to the hospital there and into surgery, and he is standing over this person who has been shot. And God speaks to him in this still small voice just before he's about to operate. He pauses, and God says to him, "This is that moment when I wanted you right here, right now, to save this man's life." And it was the day that Ronald Reagan, then president of the United States, was attempted to assassinate him. And this was the surgeon who saved his life. You see, God used his ability at that moment for something extraordinary. And God used David at that time for something extraordinary. And what was the parallel between the two? They were both willing and able to do whatever God called them to do. And make no mistake, folks, God has a calling on your life. And some of you have already experienced those moments in life when God has taken your ordinary abilities and has done something significant for others. God is always at work in people's lives, and God is always wanting and willing for his people to be ready for those opportunities to be able to use for his glory and his honor. I've also shared before that I had that similar experience here in Prince George, because when we first started looking for a house to buy, we were looking around the church here because we wanted to be in the neighborhood around here. And everything we tried to buy fell through in some weird way. Like last minute way, it looked like we had our deal and it just collapsed. I was a little frustrated. I don't know about Noreen, but I wanted to live around here and I thought we should. But everything we looked at fell apart until one day, the house we now live in, Noreen was walking and had seen this house for sale by owner for a few times on her walk. But for this day, there was a house for sale real estate sign. And so she said, can we look at it? Now, what had just happened prior to that, within the week, was we had actually were closing a deal on a house over in Westridge or Heritage. And it was, folks, it had a freestanding garage that was a year old. It had everything I wanted. It had a basement suite. It was gorgeous. It was awesome. I'd gone to Edmonton for our daughter, and I was coming back on the highway, and God said to me, don't buy it. Oh, I was in agony for kilometers. And I talked to Noreen on the phone, and she said, she felt good, but she said, you know what, if you're not feeling good, don't do it. And I said, I just think there's a reason. And I called the real estate, and they tried to talk me out of it, of course. But I said no and stuck to my guns. And I don't know if it was a couple years, 3 years after we lived there, maybe four. One winter day, you know those days we never get where it's just a whiteout and, you know, deep snow and you got to go outside and shovel. It was being Christmas and New Year's. And I am a guy, I'm OCD. If there's snow on the driveway, it's gone. And for some reason, I just thought, you know what, let's be different. I'm going to stay inside and relax on my couch. And I'm sitting there. And I'm bugged that I'm supposed to be outside. And I'm like, no, I can wait. And I can't, it won't stop, and I'm drive crazy. So I walk out, and I come to the driveway, and usually I start at a certain spot on my driveway, and I tried to even change that. And something said, go back to where you do it. And so I went back, and I thought I heard a cat kind of making noise, and I thought, well, that's weird, and I'm looking around, nothing. So I go back to shoveling, and I hear it again, and I'm looking around, there's nothing. And so I go back to shoveling, and I hear it again, and this time it's just a hair louder. And I'm like, what is going on? And if you've been to my house, I'm right by the front of the house. There's a sidewalk that goes up to our steps. And I just sort of turn there, and I'm looking across the front of the house. And through the bushes, all of a sudden I realize there's somebody on the ground, and their face is looking at me, and what they're saying is, help me, help me. And it's my neighbor, and I run over there, and he's collapsed on the ground. He asked me to help him get up. I try to get him up. I can't. And basically, we call 911. The ambulance comes. There's snow on his driveway with a bit of slope, but it's pure ice. They had trouble getting up with their gurney. We go to the hospital, or they take him to the hospital, and I talk to his sister, and I basically, the next morning, I get to go to the hospital and the ICU and talk to him, and they're actually thinking about transferring him to hospice. He's literally dying. And I'm in the thing, and I said, God, as I'm walking in the hospital, I said, God, I want an opportunity to share Christ with him and see him come to know you, because I knew he didn't. And I walk into the ICU, and there's nobody there. And I walk up to him, and his eyes are open, and I can tell he knows me just by his eyes, but he's not able to talk or speak. And I start to talk to him, and I just, you know, lamented with him, and I said, hey, Wayne, I says, you know, I'm so sorry that you're in this position, and I don't know whether you're coming out of here or not. I have no idea. But what you need to know is that this is your opportunity. And I gave him the short gospel message and story. Folks, I prayed over him, and I told him how to commit to his life to God in that moment. I don't know, like, he couldn't tell me he did it. But everything in his eyes told me he did. That night, they transferred him about 3 hours later, and within 2 hours of him being in hospice house, he passed away. And I felt the Spirit say to me, that's why I didn't want you to have that house. And I wanted you to have this house. Because his life is literally, I'm hoping one day he'll meet me at the gates. His life could have been changed for eternity because I listened to that still small voice. Because folks, that made no sense, passing that house up. And God wants to do the same for you. You know, God wants to use our lives every day to be an influence on somebody else for his kingdom, for his glory. And sometimes that's why we get these huge obstacles in our life. That's why there's mountains. That's why there's giants. Because God is doing something in our lives that will transform us and change us and strengthen us and cause us to have great faith, so that when we see somebody in need or we have an opportunity, we will jump at it without hesitation like David did that day, because we believe in something bigger and greater. We believe in a God who is all-encompassing and will always see us through. And you know what? If David had died on that field of battle that day, he'd still have eternity with Jesus. And if you go through something rotten and the very life is snuffed out, you still have eternity with Jesus. We just can't lose. I know I'm going on longer than I thought today. Don't rely on the world's weapons and wisdom. Don't put on the wrong armor. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit, and it's not going to fit God's people. The weapons we have are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're the kind of weapons that God gives us through His Spirit that break down strongholds. And why do pastors go on and on and on about having to have a relationship that is full of conversation and prayer and listening to God and discipline and knowing the Word of God so that you can build up faith? It's because that's the kind of things that grow in our lives and give us the faith and confidence to be powerful for God. Don't forget Ephesians 3, 20, 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is able. He is able. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Come on up, Jay. This just happened to fall into my lap this morning in my devotions. And that's why I'm bringing my cell phone, lest you get any ideas that I'm texting people right now. I'm doing good, Chad. Just kidding. Ah, Lord God. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. We've got the God who made the heavens and the earth, the stars, the planets, the earth, the principles of it all. He made your body. He made you breathe. He made you indestructible until you turn 60 and start feeling some queeks and tweaks. But nothing's too difficult for God. And folks, if you're still going through something and you can't figure it out, and why am I still going through it when I believe in God? It's got to be because God has greater things in mind. He's got the full picture. He's way ahead of you. Let's believe in our God. Let's trust Him. Let's have confidence in Him. Let's have courage as we face life. And don't forget, you know, the Israel army, they all had David. And you and I, we have each other. We have each other. We're not alone. And that's the reason for the body of Christ, for the bride. God knows that they can't see Him, but we certainly can see each other. We can believe in each other. We can use our gifts to strengthen and help each other and help each other get through whatever giants in our life. I hope you hear my heart today, and I hope you hear the message, the Sunday school, old school story message. It just doesn't get old. Something that really happened. And you know what? God is unfolding His life and plan in you. And He's not done using your life for His glory and His kingdom. Let's pray. God, so appreciate Your presence in our lives. We are extremely grateful, God, to You. And over our lives, I'm sure a lot of us have faced giants. And God, I'm assuming at times in our life, in those moments that we just didn't have the faith or confidence to think we'd ever get through them. But yet over time, God, and looking back at those times, we gain confidence and courage that, God, You do see us through everything. And there's no giant too big enough that our God can't see us through. And God, maybe a more important thought today is that we would have the courage and the faith to be ready in every season, God, to let You use our lives to do some amazing stuff for You. I just think today of this congregation here in the building and those online, and God, You know each of them individually. And God, You know what they've done. You know where they're at in their faith. And God, we could probably list a few amazing things, God, that You've done through some of their lives. But God, we're all in different places and we all need to grow. So I'm just going to ask You, Holy Spirit, to speak individually into our lives and into our hearts, into our thoughts, our minds today. And would You just, God, would You just build up our faith just a little bit more today? Would You give us just that little bit more confidence and courage in You? And Holy Spirit, again, whatever You want to do in each of our individual lives, would You do that right now? Speak it to us. Speak it to us. Oh, God. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Take a moment to encounter the Holy Spirit this morning. Speak, Lord, speak. If there's a giant you're facing right now, whether it's huge or maybe it's shrunk a bit, I wonder if you could just lift your hand up. Let me pray for you. Yeah. My hand's up right now as well. Yeah, lots of us. So God, you see us. You know our journeys, God. You know the specifics of what's going on. And what looks overwhelming even to us, God, you see these giants in our lives. And God, some relate directly to us. Some is for family. Some is for provision, God, or wisdom. Just a lot of different things, God. But we give these to you right now. Once again, God. And God, thank you that you do fight for us. And I speak a word from your word, God, to each of us, that we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we would put on, God, your full armor, and that, God, we would be able to stand as a result of you. So, God, give us truth. Give us your righteousness, God. Give us your peace. Give us the shield of faith, God. And give us the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Give us your word, God. And God, in prayer and conversation with you, help us once again just to feel the strength of the Lord. And let joy and gladness fill our lives. So God, for what might seem impossible to us, we ask that your will would be done. And that the impossible would be possible, God. And that we would see our giants fall. In your name, God, we bless you. Amen. Amen. Boy, I have confidence in God. And that's why I love church and I love being together, because that's where we can gain confidence for our week. We can be strong in our faith, and it can get us through a week where we don't know what we're going to face. But let's face this week with confidence in God. Let's face it with joy and peace. And let's be available and ready that no matter what God throws our way to do, let's do it in faith and in courage. And let's see others just be helped by your and my presence as God works through our lives. David wasn't alone on that battlefield, right? It wasn't just his ordinary abilities. God was with him. And God is with you. Amen? Be blessed, church, and be honored. And guess what? You can actually hang out and visit each other. Lord bless you. Thanks for being online with us today. God bless you all as well.